This talk is from GreatCatholicHomilies.com. The homilist is Father Anthony Branken of the Archdiocese of Chicago. St. Francis de Sales' attention to the little virtues of gentleness, humility, kindness, and cheerful optimism shape monastic life in the Salesian tradition. Learn about the Visitation Sisters at georgetownvisitation.org.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Wherefore, do not become foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. It's my first reading today. And of course, that Lord is our God, the one true God, the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, the God of Jacob, the Father of Jesus. There is only one Lord, there is only one God, and it is He whom we worship, and it is He whom we follow. But if that's true, then it would seem that the way that we live our lives, the way we think and the way we act, the way we love, must always be a response to the reality of this God. How could we ignore Him? How could we ever go about our daily lives and our daily business without constant mental reference to Him and to His will in our lives? How can we go about our lives as if He doesn't exist? Well, sometimes I think we do. I know I do. I know I can find myself acting and behaving and thinking and willing as if I really do not need to worry about this God until maybe He finally appears before me at the end of my life at the Last Judgment. I know that often enough I will go about my days and my nights and be thinking and worrying about so many things and forgetting that God, the supreme being who made all things, should be more than just the occasional thought. God should always be more than the one in whose direction I throw an occasional prayer when I feel I need something. If God is God, if God is the Lord, does He really have nothing significant to do with us and the way we live our lives? This is a temptation for everyone. This is the temptation that all of us are subject to, and to what is sometimes called, particularly in this modern era, practical atheism, where we live our lives and make all of our decisions and decide what is important or what is not important to us as if God doesn't really exist. And we really do not need to consult any higher authority than ourselves. Not God, not His church, not His teachings. Oh yes, we believe in God. See, this is what it means by practical atheism. You actually do believe in God, and you believe all the sacred truths of our religion, and we know in our heart of hearts that those beliefs come from God, but we go about our lives publicly and privately with hardly a reference to God and what He demands of us. At that point, we begin to regard His church not as His presence in the world to help us form our consciences and to do what is right and to avoid what is wrong. We fall victim to the temptation of practical atheism, and we start to look at the church as just a group of flawed men who are trying to push their old-fashioned agenda into our lives and into our laws. Practical atheism is how we have the spectacle of Catholic politicians selling their souls to the government and voting for and promoting the most heinous of crimes. This is how you have otherwise decent people who seem to have no problem defending the indefensible, defending the moral enormities of child killing, mercy killing of senior citizens, same-sex marriage. And they defend these moral enormities that civilized societies a long time ago eliminated once they became civilized. They obviously don't believe that what the church teaches about these things is true, or that it comes from God. Or if they believe it, they've decided that for the purpose of being re-elected, and all the extra money and the favors that come into their lives as a result of being elected, that they will keep their beliefs private and not let those beliefs have anything to do with their public lives or their platforms. This is what Mayor Daley said a few months ago, that he would not let his Catholic beliefs have any influence on the way he ruled the city. I wonder what his father would have said. I wonder what the sisters who taught him at Nativity would have said, that he would not allow his beliefs to influence the way he ruled the city. And there are Catholic people both in and out of government who applaud that kind of stance. But they are not Catholic no matter what they are. They are practical atheists. They live and move and have their being in a spiritual vacuum. They have bought into the idea that society should be structured and lived as if God doesn't exist, as if the church has no authority. And they have begun to persuade us, they have, because we got a lot of Catholics who think that this is right, they've begun to persuade us that this is the ideal type of society. In fact, ignoring God is enshrined in the constitutions of most modern democracies. We have allowed our governments to decree that God and God's revealed religion shall have no place in the policies and the laws of this land. In regular, normal people, the voters, shall we say, have begun to accept that as part of our national landscape. That God and His Catholic Church should have nothing to do with our policies and programs or public lives. Our modern secular states are very pleased to promote this attitude of practical atheism because it enhances their control over our lives. When we enact laws and policies without reference to a supernatural God and His Church, to which we look for help in making moral decisions, then the state becomes God. Then the state becomes church. The state becomes the Pope and the bishops all in one happy, electable package. And they're very happy to take over the job of God. And we do this all the time. We allow this all the time. We let a government of the politicians, by the politicians, and for the politicians, we let such creatures assume the role of God in our lives. We let politicians become the court of last resort in our society. Politicians, they will decide right from wrong for us, good from evil, important from not important. Politicians? But this is what you get with no God and no church to object. You get politicians in league with the media and celebrities to decide what is right or wrong, moral or immoral, in our lives and in our country. Dick Durbin and Oprah are going to tell us what is good and moral. Rahm Emanuel and Barack Obama are going to save me and my family. To hand over to a creature the authority that belongs only to God, well, that is the surest possible recipe for personal and societal disaster. If we allow the true God, the God of Israel, and the God of Jesus, to be relegated to the occasional reference at a Sunday service, and no more influential in our lives than helping us pick the music we're going to sing for Mass, we create a vacuum, a spiritual vacuum, an authority vacuum. Who will help us negotiate the moral issues of our lives? The state. In the practical atheism, the practical absence of God says, we will. And this is how we've actually made politicians into gods, and they have made a wreck of our country and our world and our families. This is practical atheism, living our lives as if there were no God, or as if He had nothing to do with our lives. And that attitude can develop even within the church. Because sometimes people in the church, including priests and sometimes bishops, they act or think sometimes that the church does not come from the true God or speak with the authority of the God. They begin to think that the church is more of a club for a select few where we can pick and choose what we will believe according to how we feel about it. For them, God is not really involved with what we believe. The religion is something that they can make up and change at will. We don't like this teaching? Toss it. We don't like the Pope's degrees? Ignore them. But the problem is that if God is God, then what he teaches by means of the church is true, and it cannot change. And this goes for Catholics as well as for politicians. Maybe we don't like something. Maybe we don't want it to be true in our lives or in the lives of others. But that's too bad, because if it is true, and the church has taught it that it's true, then all the complaining in the world will not make it false. And if it's false, there's nothing that we can do that'll make it true. And all the wishing in the world will not change it. Not too long ago, we were treated to the news that a Catholic parish, under the guidance of their pastor, had submitted to the bishop a petition in which they were all protesting as vehemently as they could one of the infallible teachings of the church regarding holy orders, that only men can be ordained priests. What they were doing in that petition was telling their bishop and all the world that even though they were Catholic, they were not going to believe what the Catholic Church believes about holy orders, that they were going to live their lives as if the church was not underneath God. I am sure their bishop will explain things to them, but welcome to the world of practical atheism, where we make all of our decisions about what we believe and how we should live as if God and the church did not matter. You can see how this practical atheism has made inroads all over our world. So therefore, our resolution must be firm. We will understand that there is no God in all the earth but our God, and that it is his church that speaks with the authority of that God. And this is whom we will follow in all of our decisions, in all of our lives, when we are in the voting booth or when we are in the pews. We may not make a lot of friends by being so bold about the implications of our beliefs, but at least we will be genuine and authentic and faithful to the true God, and that's all that true God wants from us. Maybe not success, but faithfulness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Hear more talks like these at greatcatholichomilies.com.